Okay, we are not live. We're going to go live in a couple of seconds. And you're going to hear music, an introduction. So just hold 1 second. I'll be right with you, okay?
Yep.
We're ready. We have no trouble. We're done.
Okay.
Yes, she's counting down. Everything is done. Yep. We are ready for 10 seconds. Okay, it's going to be 10 seconds of silence, but it's really going to be about 20.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And I am with you in the very snowy Northeast. And if you can hear my voice, and if you've been listening to me, you know it's not my usual voice. Yes, I do have the flu. But I don't care, because today I have such wonderful guests that are going to cheer us all up. In fact, they're in the business of cheering us all up. We're going to talk about something that I promised in my promo, and that is the beginning of good aging. And there's two essentials that nobody ever tells you about. One of them is laughing, and the other one is telling your own life story and organizing it. Well, you can kill two birds with one stone. And that you can do by becoming a stand-up comic. That doesn't mean it becomes your profession. It may be something that you do at parties or with your friends or even in the privacy of your own home. But it helps you laugh at yourself, and who knows, you might be extremely engaging. And it could be something new for you in life. So we have the expert here. His name is Andrew Engel. He is the founder and owner of Manhattan Comedy School, one of the most important do-it-yourself comedy careers that you can ever have, whether you're serious about it as a career or you're serious about it to enhance your own life. He's very well known in the New York area and all over the country, actually, because he's established many comic talents, many of them who you know. We're going to talk about some of them in a minute. And for 18 years, he has presented and produced new talent shows. What kind of talent? Well, new talent in comedy. So thank you, Andy, so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And let's just talk about the school for a moment. We'll give everybody a way to find out more about the school. But for a moment, I don't think people are always familiar with the fact that they can learn comedy. So what happens at the school and who goes to the school?
That's a great question. Who goes to the school? I would say we get people as young as 16 and people into their 80s. And we get people from all walks of life, all demographics, all professions, all backgrounds. I think that the class is very unique and special in that it brings together people that normally wouldn't come together in a class, on like, say, a cooking class or, you know.
Yeah, now that's important because people do have to understand this is a class. When I was 40 years old, that's some 30 years ago, by the way, I took such a course. That was my gift to myself for my 40th birthday, and I realized I was getting older. I was making jokes about aging. But what's the process here? Somebody comes to you, they join a class. Do they have improv classes? Is it stand-up? Do they learn to write scripts?
What I'm talking about primarily now is stand-up. I do some improv, but stand-up is my bread and butter. That's what most people come to us for and find us for, and that's what we're famous for. And that's because when the class ends, the graduation show is at Gotham Comedy Club. And Gotham Comedy Club is a spectacular club, and it's a 300-seat, probably the best showroom in the city. And that's one of the big selling points of the class is that when the class ends, they perform in front of approximately 150 people, of friends and family, at Gotham. and they get a tape of their performance. So even if they never take another class or never try it again, that tape is something that they'll keep forever. Now, if they do, a lot of people, I tell people this all the time. I tell people I'm like a drug dealer. And I say that because I have a commodity that people really want, and that's quality stage time at Gotham Comedy Club.
They crave it, yeah.
They
yeah,
crave, it. People,
crave it.
People, I get calls from lawyers, doctors, businessmen, accountants, housewives, college kids, celebrities, and they all want what I have, and that's quality stage time at Gotham on one of my new talent shows. So very often people take the class, and they may not want to quit their day job, I want to emphasis point, but they want to keep doing stand-up, and they can with our school. And that's a key
point. And what I was saying was that when I took it, again, 3 decades ago, I can still remember the routine. I remember that I was turning 40. I was a little bit thinking about myself as a woman, and I was wearing a very sexy dress. And my first line was, "Hey, it's expensive to look this cheap." And that was that was the beginning of me telling my story, turning 40.
Your story,
which is
exactly.
A big thing for me. Now, so let's talk about that for a moment. People who are listening know that memoir writing is a big thing as you get older, and it's not so easy. Some people can't do it. It's also very time-consuming and not always fun. But you can be a memoir stand-up. Most stand-ups are talking about themselves. So
exactly. I think you hit it.
Yeah.
I think you hit it on the head.
Right.
It's a big challenge to write a book. It's easier to take a comedy class, where you're going to come up with 5 minutes of material after 6 weeks. And you are going to come up with personal stuff. And you could make a case and say it's the beginning of a memoir, but it's a lot easier to accomplish and see a tangible goal. And the result and the is the tape. So after the 6 weeks, you get up and you get that tape, and you get a really nice sample of what it's like to do. You get a real taste of it. And that's the beginning of your – you could make a case and say comedy memoir or memoir in a sense, if that makes sense.
That Comedy School, I just want everybody to know, because if you want more information, it's really as easy as pie. You go to ManhattanComedyschool.com, and you'll
Correct.
Learn all
I'll
about –
I'll say it again, ManhattanComedyschool.com. The website is pretty extensive, and it really there's a lot of info there you can find, obviously, and get a much better understanding of what we're all about.
Now, you know what I'm fascinated by, and I think people who are listening are not expecting to become comics, so you never know. But this idea of new talent. Now, everybody has to understand this is radio. So when Andy Engel says new talent, it's with a capital N and a capital T. It's not just new talent. It's a show of new talent that he's bringing to a very tough audience. The Manhattan audience. So let's forget us for a minute. Let's forget the amateur. How do you spot new talent? How do you know when one person comes up there in the air and you say, oh, he's going to make it, this one, I don't know?
Well, you know, having been in the business a long time, you certainly see a lot. That's number one. So just experience and being around it all the time. And you see somebody that has that original take on life or in their stand-up. It's original, it's theirs, they own it. And some people, I think, are naturally funny. Others have to work harder at it. Some people could read the phone book and be funny. Gilbert Gottfried's a good example. People really have to write setup and a punchline, but not everybody has to do setup punchline. That's for some people. I don't want to say that's for everybody. I think the good thing for your listeners, though, is a lot of your listeners have a lot of life experience. So they have a lot to draw from, which I think is a very key point.
So I have the toughest question on earth for you.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the background after you answer. Aging funny? Is aging funny?
Sure. Anything's funny.
We
Absolutely.
We did a review of Norman Lear's new TV show, and it's called Who Died? And I expect it to be a hoot. But you know what? It's hard. Even this show, people say, oh, who wants to hear about aging? Is that changing at all in the world of comedy?
Come back again. I'm sorry. Say it again, please.
Is that changing the idea that aging is like taboo and people don't want to really hear about it? Because I do associate new talent with young talent. What are you seeing?
You can be funny and make it at any point in your life, okay? Joy Behar had already had a career as a teacher. Louis Black was was not a young kid when he really made it, in a sense. So, you know, there's many comedians that make it at a later age. And the only rule, I think, is to really be funny, original, have an original style, work hard. I think those are the rules. I think people in the business, like myself, are looking for anybody if they're really funny. The age is not the only thing that somebody looks at, if that makes sense.
Really is, it does make sense, and it really can be. This is what I want to point out before our break. That is, this can be a breakthrough. The reason I was so anxious to have Andy Engel on my show, and I'll repeat again that he is the owner and founder of Manhattan Comedy School, but he's also a producer of New Talent and Funny Business and many other things, been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I was so anxious was I see memoirs as a wonderful way to organize your story. And, you go and you pay like $1,000 and they bind it for you, for your family. And that's what it is. Nothing wrong with it, but it's kind of dead. But when you're up there on a stage and you're telling your story, that 70 years into 5 minutes, and there are people looking at you and they are laughing at themselves and with you, it is one of the most elating experiences that you can have, even if you never get up on that stage again. And, of course, Andy makes sure that you it's all chronicled for you.
Can I pick up on what you just said?
Yeah,
It is the ultimate natural high. It's the most fun you can have with your clothes on. It exceeds people's expectations every time. I have students sometimes that get off stage the first time that are crying from pure joy.
Right.
It's a confidence builder.
We're going to come back. We're going to be with Andy for a while. And when we come back after that, don't forget, you have been asking me that sugar level. We'll help you get that down. But right now, we're going to go on the Andy Engel Sugar High. Don't you go anywhere.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Oh, does it fly by, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're now.
Is that okay?
Oh, it was wonderful. And we're going to do the second segment now, okay?
The line we were stopped, which is the ultimate natural high, just pick up that and extrapolate about that?
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Right. As soon as we come in, I wanted to talk about that. And, of course, there is a health component to laughing, too, that we have to
bring
down. And then, there's a lot of things that I would like to bring out, but I want to make sure you say everything you want to say. I do want to talk about some of the that you found, right?
Some of the what? The talent?
Some of the talent that you've discovered, if you anybody you want to speak to. But what else that you would like to bring out?
Okay. I just want to pick up on your point about, first of all, I want to talk about ultimate natural high. That's number one. I want to talk about how comedy is a more kind of like immediate, potent way to like, in a sense, start your memoirs. You get immediate feedback, after those 6 weeks. Whereas you write the book, and, you may never get the feedback you get from taking a comedy class.
Oh, that's brilliant. I
think that's a good point,
And do you see a difference in men and women? I mean, we have to be politically correct, but it's not a very politically correct show. Anyway, we talk about everything. And I'm just wondering, because you know what? There's a lot of women who are in their 60s and 70s, and they're coming out as extroverts when they weren't for all their life. So I don't know what you're seeing at all.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I've helped, and hundreds of women have taken my class and continue to. Here's a good women's story, okay? One of my teachers did Stephen Colbert. By the way, my two main teachers are both women, actually. And my advanced teacher did Stephen Colbert, and female students did Stephen Colbert too. So that's a pretty good. We should really talk about that.
We should. Okay, Stu, we are ready. We've got more than enough. 10 seconds. Quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? Oh, that word that dare not speak its name, aging. And one of the things we like to do is reminisce. Now, there's all kinds of dreary stuff written by gerontologists about life review and life script and organizing your and understanding your past. Throw it all out. Just go to the Manhattan Comedy Club and take a course.
Manhattan Comedy School.
Manhattan Comedy School, and let's say that very carefully, ManhattanComedySchool.com.
.com.
And you'll get all the information you need. What we were talking about before the break was something that Andy is kind of passionate about, and that is the idea that you actually get a high, that you really do have those endorphins kick in when you're on stage.
It's an unbelievable natural high, and it's something that people get addicted to, and that's why I said I was like a drug dealer. People keep calling me because they want to keep doing it. They want to keep, you know, even if they don't take a class with me again, they will do my new talent shows. So they'll continue to perform after the class ends, and that's a key point. People want to continue to perform, and they have that option with us. And I want to just say this about stand-up as opposed to writing a memoir. You know, you can write a brilliant memoir, and you can spend years doing it, but you don't necessarily get the powerful, visceral, immediate feedback of laughter that you get from doing stand-up. And you take a comedy class after 6 weeks, you get immediate powerful response and laughter from what you've written. And I think that that offers something that it's hard to get if you write a memoir. Unless you're on an amazing book tour and you're a huge name and you have huge crowds coming to see you at you know Barnes & Noble.
Well, even if you do. Andy, you don't know, but I've written many, many books, and I will tell you that writing books is a lonely experience.
Right.
Even if it's successful, it's essentially you're in your own head. And here you're in your own mouth, and other people are listening to it, and it's an incredible feeling, good or bad. Now, let's talk about that. How about bombing? Mm-hmm. Do anybody listening now have to worry maybe a little bit about bombing, or is the camaraderie?
I don't think they have to. Listen, everybody bombs. And my response to that is embrace it, love the bomb, enjoy it, understand it's going to happen, okay? And that's part of the process.
Yep.
And you don't necessarily bomb when you're doing a new talent show. People can, but if you're going to make it a career, that's something that you really have to, that bridge is a bigger bridge to cross.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things about successful aging is to learn to fail. Things are going to fail on you. It could be your knees, but they will. And if you can learn to fail, even in comedy, you have a step ahead of successful aging beyond anyone else. This is a very organic thing. And I want to ask, though, most of the people, including our listeners, by the way, are women.
Mm-hmm.
Because they still are outliving, but even the young ones, they're out there trying to do something new. Have you seen that also in the people that come to you, the women that work?
Absolutely. I get a lot of people in 60s. And 70s who are trying stand-up and want to try stand-up. And I'll just say this. My two main teachers are both women who are mothers. And one of our teachers, our beginner teacher, Karen Bergreen, has written two novels, one of which got a great review by The Times and Oprah. So not only is she a successful stand-up with TV credits, she's played the Kennedy Center as a comic, but she's a successful writer as well. So that's kind of an interesting dimension since we've been talking about memoirs so much. Our advanced teacher, Corey Kahaney, Corey did Stephen Colbert. And what I'm really proud of is that two of our students and her students did Stephen Colbert after that, Carmen Lynch and Emma Willman. So we've had a teacher and two students do Stephen Colbert in a very short period of time, which I think is a really nice endorsement of the school, and obviously they're all women.
So, you know, one of the things that we have a lot of statistics on aging, but we have a lot of statistics on the new stage of life called grandparenting. And you mentioned that your teachers are not only women, but they're mothers. And you know that there's big, big movies out there about your bad moms. They're hysterical movies. They do very well at the box office because there's simply a lot of young mothers out there. Well, hello, there's 78 million baby boomers and a lot of grandparents out there. So that in itself is a stand-up routine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I tell you what amazes me, Adrienne, is that every time I meet somebody, everybody has a unique story. They have something interesting to tell for those 6 minutes. I don't know if they have a whole book or a memoir, but what's pretty amazing is that how many people have an interesting, unique group of experiences happen to them, or a great life story. And that's what I keep finding again and again.
And you know, one of the things that we do know is this. We have a very poor, honestly, a very poor view of aging culturally.
Mm-hmm.
Aging is funny. Why? Because we're laughing at old people. That's why it's funny. I mean, the funny
mm-hmm.
has always been old people are decrepit, they do stupid things, they have dementia, and forget about it. Meanwhile, we have all the money, we're having a lot of sex, we're divorcing after 70, all kinds of stuff is going
you
on.
You just wrote somebody's routine. We have all the money, we're having a lot of sex, boom.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your opening 2 minutes.
Yeah, and who's paying attention? That's the question. So what I love, and I have to be honest, look, being on radio and being on TV, I am an extrovert. Have you seen people come to you who would like to be more aggressive in their socialization?
Yes, yes, who are introverts. One of my interns was a woman, and she was an extreme introvert. I mean, to the point where I felt she almost needed a special class just for that. And
uh-huh.
I'm so proud of her because she took my class, and she got through it, and she very emotional in a really good way because she didn't think she could. And I was really, really proud of her. And this was an individual who, again, she almost could have taken a class just for being so introverted. And I was really, really amazed and proud of her that she was able to get through it, and she did it. And that was a huge thing for her. And I think that I help a lot of people. I had another intern, again, who was very, very shy. She took an improv class. And for that, that was also a big deal. This is really kind of interesting. I had a gentleman who's in his 70s. He took my class, and he took me to dinner. He says, Andy, you don't realize what you do for people. I said, what do you mean? He says, you give people confidence. You make people feel good about themselves. And that's something I didn't even think through or think about, but he's 100% right. When you get up and you make people laugh on stage, that changes your whole perspective about yourself in a very positive way.
And so, you know, we come to the end of our segment, and I don't want anybody to leave us. We have the rest of our show is about health and eating right and all the usual things we talk about. But this, honestly, I think is more important. We're speaking with Andy Engel. He is the purveyor of good feelings. And what could be better than that? You will find out everything at ManhattanComedySchool.com. And, you know, you can even drop in for a show. And you'll find out when everything is going on. These are gifts that you can give to people who you love and respect.
It's powerful to give a gift to somebody and tell them you think they're funny.
Oh, that they're funny. Unbelievable.
That's a wonderful thing to give somebody.
It is. It's been such a pleasure to be with you. And for everybody else, you stay tuned. We're going to go through some of the things that you have been asking me for. Just go to generationboldradio.com. Go to Ask
you
Adrian, and we will put on the topics that are important to you. Don't go
thank
anywhere.
You so much.
Your sugar levels down. Thank you so much, Andy.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Wasn't that nice?
Thank you very much. Appreciate your opportunity very much.
I think it was a lot of fun. I think you... Okay. Hold one second. Yeah, we have to do something. When? So that's okay, isn't it? Hello?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, you just, while I was talking to him, you mean?
While you were talking to me after the show was over, I called him back off on stage.
Oh, just call him back up.
I don't have his number. Hang on, let me see if I have his number. Hold on.
Here's a number here. So, I have his number. I have his number, do you?
Yeah.
was very good. Hang on, he's
here. I apologize.